Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. This morning's reading comes from the Psalms. It's number 146. And yes, I am reading from the United Methodist Hymnal. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Put not your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is in God of Jacob, whose help is in the Lord, their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners and upholds the widow and the orphan. But the Lord brings the way of the wicked man to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for generations, generation to generation, praise the Lord. May the Lord have his blessing on the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Scholars tell us that they can look at this psalm and determine that it's an individual psalm set for private worship rather than corporate worship. Now, we know that in the thousands of years since it was put to page, it's been used for public worship. It's read, it's sung, there's a full musical setting. But the opening line apparently is key to understanding how deep and personal it is. The opening line, translated from Hebrew, reads hallelujah, which would be a personal kind of prayer. It's only 10 verses, but it breaks out very cleanly in terms of how it's understood. It opens with language of personal praise. It moves into those middle verses which tell us not to trust humans. They will let us down, ultimately. Then to trust in God, because God looks after all of us. The least and the lost and the lonely can depend on God, because God's love for us is lasting and true. It's hard to believe when things are happening to us, and I would imagine those on the East Coast would not necessarily buy into a psalm such as this, but I bet there are some. Some of us are fair-weather believers. When things are going well, it's you and me, God, you and me. And then when things are going not so well, it's where are you, God? What's going on? Why is this happening? Well, it's just the way life falls. The close is the couplet that starts it. It talks then more of a corporate setting, how God looks over God's people. So the overriding question in this is, in whom do we trust? We have "In God We Trust" on our currency. We know that's a fairly recent development. There's still some argument about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't, I believe in God with or without God's name on the currency. I don't know about you. That matters less to me than how I hold my faith. So whom do we believe? You believe in your doctor? If you're facing surgery and you don't have absolute trust in your surgeon, I would ask, why are you going to have surgery? That's an important question. Do you believe in lawyers? And I know there are several present. And remember that I have nearly enough to field a baseball team in my family. Some people don't have a lot of faith in lawyers. And it's not new. William Shakespeare said negative things about him, and about 10 years or so ago, the Eagles said, "Let's kill all the lawyers. Let's kill them tonight." He was paraphrasing Shakespeare. Do you have trust in your accountant? If you don't have trust in your accountant, then you're suspicious of money going elsewhere. You need to have trust in people. And some say trust is a two-way street, and I would agree. Your accountant had better trust you as well. Whether it's a doctor, a lawyer, even some would say the lowly auto mechanic. My father was an auto mechanic, and I've heard some terribly disparaging things said about auto mechanics. But I would say the people who work on my cars, I have absolute trust in, and I would recommend them to anyone. But others may have different experiences. That's part of what happens. When you recommend somebody, they might not have the same level of trust or the same positive experience that you have when going to, whether it's a doctor, a lawyer, mechanic, accountant. Tied with all of this is a question I'll ask later about personal trust, self-trust. Eric Hartley writes for the Daily News Group, and he wrote a modern-day illustration of how sometimes we trust people and get burned. Apparently, there were three gentlemen, not necessarily from Lancaster-Palmdale area, but they live in that area, and they decided they were going to go to Texas to buy some cattle. And on their way, they stopped off in Arkansas. Well, first they stole a license plate in Palmdale. On the way, they stopped off in Arkansas and stole a trailer to haul cattle. Then they went to Texas and essentially stole 15 head of cattle. Now, that might not sound like much to you, but the rancher that they stole them from thinks so, because they wrote a bad check. Now, you'd think that somebody would be suspicious enough. They might have had an electronic check trace. You know, all those things are handy nowadays. Or might have wanted to have a cashier's check. But they didn't. And so these fellows came back to, and they were men, they came back to Lancaster-Palmdale area, and they had one fatal flaw. Not fatal in the sense that it cost them their lives, but it certainly cost them some incarceration. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Detective said, "You know, I've been at this almost 30 years, and I've never had a cattle rustling case. But here's their mistake. They stole a license plate right in the area where they returned with the cattle, and it was very easily traceable, so they were caught within not hours, but days of returning." You wonder what it does to the level of trust for those who lost a license plate, a trailer, and cattle. It's hard to have faith in humanity when you've been burnt to the ground, but it happened. That's one kind of trust. Another kind of trust is in terms of interpreting the gifts and graces we have. Michael Gilmore writes for the gospel of that I know as Rolling Stone magazine. He wrote an article in September about Bob Dylan, who celebrated his 50th year of touring, and probably his 50th year in the business. And if there's anybody in this room who doesn't know who Bob Dylan is, you're invited to leave now. Because he is more than an institution. In probably the best interview I've read in over a decade of Bob Dylan, he has a great distrust of media personnel because they always try to catch him and bend his words. And Michael Gilmore was no less so. But I don't want to deal with that. I want to deal with what he asked Mr. Dylan about a fulfilling life and whether he finds fulfillment in touring. And Dylan answered in an odd way. He said, those who aren't fulfilled in other ways musically might be fulfilled by touring. And Mr. Gilmore said, so you're saying that's part of your fulfillment? He said, no. He said, what I'm saying is the only life fulfilled is a life redeemed. And he meant it the way you're thinking. He was talking theology, not musical notes. He has made many statements in his life about religion, and nobody can pin him down because he's ever evolving theologically. And his latest album, Tempest, is no less so. It's a very invigorating and interesting treatment, at least for me. I know he's not for everyone's taste. I know a number of people who think he makes up lyrics as he's singing. He claims to not take credit for the lyrics. They just come to him. And in this article, he's asked about lyric writing, and he said, I take no particular credit. I can write in a crowded room. He said, it's magical. Things just come to you, and you're compelled to put them down and figure out how to express them. Which to me says he trusts what's going in his life, both spiritually and creatively as a musician. He keeps fairly private about his politic and about his spirituality, because every time he says something, people jump on that. And he's not one of those celebrities that is out there pounding a drum for this cause or that cause. He's just trying to figure it out, and he trusts himself enough to do so, which leads me back to that personal trust. Whether it's a doctor, a lawyer, a mechanic, an accountant, whatever it is, we are called to ask ourselves the question as we face a mirror, are we somebody that people can trust? I think it's a reasonable question, and it doesn't mean it's universal. I've been at this long enough that I know that there are people who haven't trusted me. And it usually comes to them looking elsewhere for spiritual fulfillment, which tells me they don't understand what ministry is about. If you're looking to me for spiritual fulfillment, you need another set of glasses. Your spiritual fulfillment has to come in the name and love of God as we experience it in Jesus Christ. Not me. I'm just some dingbat preacher sent to North Hollywood. I'm here to lead, but I'm not here to get on a pedestal. I hope that it benefits us, that we trust each other, and that that we can bless the world through that trust. I work at being trustworthy of myself and trusting the people I serve, which I feel uniquely blessed to have served a congregation that trusts itself and trusts me, and then goes forth in ministry and mission. If we don't trust, it turns to rust. But if we trust each other and understand that occasionally we're going to abrade and irritate one another, I like that line from Max Licato where he says, you know, congregations irritate and rub up against each other the wrong way, but when we get it right, we just shine. That's what trust can do. We can shine in the name and hope and love of faith. May it ever be so.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.